This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
This is the first in a series of 15-minute shiurim that I'm undertaking between now and Yom Kippur, and hopefully will continue after Yom Kippur too until we finish the Sefer, going through the very beautiful and absolute gem of a work of Rav Moshe Kardavira, 16th century Kabbalist who lived in Tzfat. He was a Talmud, a student both of the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, and Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, the Kabbalist, and was a teacher of the Ari, and wrote this wrote many Sephorim, but this one is just an absolute gem of Musa, called the Tomer Devora, and I'm going to go through it in 15-minute chunks, so hopefully that makes it easy just to listen to a piece and get something out of it. I'm going to go through the Sefer itself, go through the work using the Hebrew and translating it as I go along, which doesn't mean you need to have a copy in front of you. If you do, that's wonderful, and if you don't, I'm hoping that you'll be able to gain some of the insights and the depth and the beauty of it without necessarily having to have a Sefer in front of you. Today we do the first chapter, Perek Rishon, and what he does is he goes through our need to emulate Hashem using the Yud Gimel Midos, using the 13 attributes of God. He doesn't use the traditional verses for the 13 attributes that we say so many times between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Hashem, Hashem, Keol Rachum B'chanun. He doesn't use those verses, but rather the verses in Micha chapter Zion, verses 18, 19, and 20, where there are also 13 attributes of God, and he uses that as the basis of this book, explaining how we can emulate God and how we're meant to do that. So the first chapter is Biur Yud Gimel Midot Hashem V'Hitdamut HaAdam Aleihem, a clarification of the 13 characteristics of Hashem and the capacity of the human being to emulate them. And the astonishing thing about the work is actually the first word, which is Ha'adam, the human being. The work is about mankind. It's about a human being. It's not even about a Jew. There are parts of it that, that refer specifically to the Jew. But interestingly, he holds that it is a requirement of humanity to emulate God, and not just of the Jewish person. And he opens his book by saying, "Ha'adam ra'ui shiyitdameh lekono." It is appropriate for a human being to emulate his Creator. "Va'az yehiye besod hatzura ha'elyona tzelem udmut," and then he will approximate the highest secrets of the uppermost form of God, God's image. So if we understand that, God tells us in the beginning of the Torah that man was created in his image, not the Jewish person, the human being, as distinct from all other creations, was created in the image of God. And that is not a static situation, explains the Talmud Torah. It's not something that we were created in God's image and now we can sit back and relax, we're kind of godly. That isn't so. Because if a human being had the image of God only in his appearance, in his bodily appearance, and we don't know what that means, of course God has no body, so it's difficult to think of our body as in any way similar to God, but there is something majestic and divine about the human body, and in some deep Kabbalistic way that projects certain qualities of Hashem, but Rav Moshe Kardavira says if one were to approximate God only in appearance, in our genetic composition, in the way we're born and created, v'lo b'fu'ulot, and not by means of our actions and activities, the things we do, harehu machaziv hatzura, then we're actually making a lie out of that form. We're actually creating, hypocrisy in that very form. V'yomru alav, and it would be said about such a person, tzura na'a u'ma'asim ku'urim. What a beautiful form, and what ugly deeds. So that in fact, when we, the Jewish people, when the Torah looks at beauty, we're not only looking at the beauty of form. The Greeks looked at beauty of form. And a lot of Western civilization looks at beauty, as at aesthetics, as from a form perspective. But we don't. We look at form in as much as it expresses something much deeper. When form expresses being, when form expresses action, when we see beauty in action, beauty in activity, when we see depth and meaning and purpose in action, then we see beauty. The whole Jewish idea of aesthetics is so much more complex than any other aesthetic philosophy. And part of what we need to see in our beauty and in our majesty is a congruence between form and content, between form and action. Shehare ikar hatzelim vahadmut ha'elyon. Because the root, the source, the core of God's higher form and image is pu'ulotav, is God's activities, God's actions, the way God is, the way God manifests. Umayo illo heyoto ketzura ha'elyona demut tavnita ivarav. And what value is it if a person had some kind of similarity with God in some form or other beyond our understanding, in the way we're constructed and in the form of our body, uvapu'ulot lo yitdame lekono, and in our actions and activities we do not compare to God and we do not emulate Him. Lefichach, therefore, ra'ui shiyitdame el pu'ulat haketer, pu'ulot haketer, it is necessary that we emulate the actions of the crown of majesty. And what are those actions we have to emulate? Shehen shulosh yisrei midot shorachamim elyonim, elyonot, urimuzot besod hapsukim. Those are the 13 characteristics of mercy that are the uppermost characteristics of Hashem and are implied in their deep ideas in the verses in Micha. And he then proceeds to quote the verses, Mikel kamocha nasei avon, who is like God, like you God, who bears sin, ve'over al pei shalish erit nachanato, and forgives sin for those that are left over of his inheritance, the Jewish people. Lo hechazik la'adapo ki chafetz chesed hu, he does not hold his anger forever, for he loves kindness. Yashuv yirachameinu yichbosh avonoteinu, He will return and show mercy to us and conquer our sins. V'tashlich b'msulot yam kol chatatam. And He will throw into the depths of the sea all the sins and iniquities of the Jewish people. Titen emet le'Yakov chesed l'Avraham. He will give truth to Yaakov, kindness to Avraham. Asher nishbata l'avotenem yimei kedem. To whom you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. In Cain, if that is the case, therefore, Ra'ui, it is correct, shetimtza'ena bo shalosh esrei midot eilu. In the human being there should exist these 13 principles, these 13 characteristics. V'achshav, and now, nefaresh otan ha'pu'olot, hayotzot min ha'midot ha'ru'uyot, shetihyena bo. We will explain the actions that emerge from these characteristics that a person should contain. And so he begins with the first one. Mikel kamocha, who is like you, Hashem. That's the first characteristic, a statement of singularity, of uniqueness. Mikel kamocha, there is none like you. A rhetorical question, who is like you, Hashem? Hamida azot morea leyot HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech ne'elav sovel elbon mashelo yechilei rayon. This idea, explains Rav Moshe Cordovero, indicates Hashem's capacity to be insulted, humiliated, and for Him to kind of accept it and not attach too much to it in a way which is beyond any concept of ours. There's nothing that Hashem is hidden from Hashem's attention. And also there is not a moment that the human being is not nourished and sustained by the energy emanating from God Himself. And And so we see an amazing quality, that it is inevitable that since the beginning of history, human beings sin against God, and at the very moments that they're busy sinning, God abundantly blesses them with sustenance and nourishment and movement in life. And even though man is using that very energy that God feeds him in order to damage God and sin against him, God does not withhold that energy from that human being. God suffers this humiliation, nourishing and sustaining that person with energy to move the very limbs, and at that very moment man takes that energy that God is giving him and turns it against God and uses that very energy against he who gives it to him, against God himself, and angers him. And God accepts it. God suffers it. And we should never think, chas v'sholem, that God cannot stop that nourishment and that good. In a second, he could dry up and paralyze our hands and feet, as he did to Yeravam in Kings chapter 1, verse 13. And even though God could well say and should well say, don't sin against me with my energy, use your own energy, I will withdraw my energy from you if you're going to use it against me. God does not do that and does not restrain and withhold his energy from the human being. And he gives people that strength and that goodness. This is a level of humiliation and suffering. Suffering in the sense not just of pain and anguish, but in the sense of putting up with it, bearing it. And that's what the angels mean when they refer to God as Melech Aluv, a humiliated God. V'haynu amro, Mikel kamocha, and that's what it means when the prophet Micha says, who is like you, God? Ato kel, the word kel means the source of all energy. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says the word Elohim, kel, is the source of energy. You, God, the source of energy, what source of energy is like you? Baal chesed hamitiv, who is so kind and full of goodness. El baal koach lenakem v'lasofet shecha, you have the power to take in what is yours and withhold it. Vim kolze atas sovel v'ne'elav ad yashuv b'tshuva. You suffer and you put up with this insult that we offer, that we give you with your own, with your energy that you're giving us, waiting for us to do teshuva. And so we too need to acquire some of that capacity, rutzuni hasavlanut, just the ability to suffer, to put up with stuff, not to withhold our love and affection and nourishment from people just because they're doing things we don't approve of. Not to withhold our goodness even from somebody who may be disappointing us at that particular time. And there are halachot that govern this. One isn't necessarily meant to continue doing goodness indefinitely to people who turn it in our face. But certainly, as long as we think there's a capability of that person to do tshuva, to get it, let us not be quick in withholding goodness from people that we don't approve of. Let's not judge people so quickly. God doesn't judge us in that way. Yes, comes Yom HaDin, he judges us. He judges us every day, but not in the sense of, I'm judging you, I'm disappointed in you, and therefore I'm going to withhold my goodness from you. His love, his kindness, the energy he gives us is unconditional, at least until the point where God, so to say, gives up any hope of teshuvah. Or he punishes us because that's part of his kindness. He wants to communicate with us and help us make changes in our lives. But never does he take away the life force that enables us to rebel against him, never mind to do good, even to rebel against him. And so, says Moshe Kodavira, in our relationships to other people, Don't judge people so quickly. You might judge their actions. Their actions are bad. They've done something wrong. But that doesn't undermine them as who they are, human beings worthy of care, worthy of kindness, worthy of love, just as we're worthy of love, even though we disappoint God so very often.